Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1984 with the release date of Friday, November 6, 2015, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A new White House report urges better preparedness for geomagnetic storms. A radio amateur in upstate New York works QRP to activate a marshland. The Philippine Amateur Radio Association marks its 83rd year, and in separate preparedness exercises, hams in Arizona as well as South Africa prove they can step in when disaster strikes. All this and more in Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1984 coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, here's Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
We begin this week's newscast with a far-reaching White House report on geomagnetic storms. It seems that hams aren't the only ones concerned with damaging effects of coronal mass ejections. Now the Obama administration is formally saying, be prepared. Amateur Radio Newsline Bobby Best, WX4ALA, tells us more.
When massive solar flares, known as coronal mass ejections, disrupt the ionosphere, it spells loss of the bands for amateur operators who can be certain of disastrous QSOs, or more likely, no QSOs at all. But those three letters, C, M, E, actually spell out a more wide-ranging loss, a worldwide immobilization that the White House recently deemed worth bracing for. Late last month, the Obama administration released contingency plans that define roles everyone would play, from the largest federal agency to the smallest local business, in the event a geomagnetic storm strikes with epic magnitude. The official game plan was drawn up following officials' extensive study of the so-called Carrington event, a CME that ruptured global communications in 1859 by exploding telegraph lines around the world. Now, with so many nations electrified and connected by technology and various intricate power grids, the impact of a similarly supersized CME could have even more impact, knocking out satellites, GPS measurements, and stranding civilizations in a world without an operating infrastructure. Clearly, this is not solely the stuff of science fiction. The most recent instance, on a small scale, occurred September 28th. An intense solar flare erupted over South America, with the resulting UV radiation creating a temporary blackout in low-frequency radio communications. Exactly 1 month later, on October 28th, the Obama administration released its completed plans, the National Space Weather Strategy and the National Space Weather Action Plan. And with that release came the announcement of a global strategy for agencies, nonprofits, and individuals everywhere to cooperate and communicate. The release of the plans comes a week or so before the military auxiliary radio systems simulated blackout exercise with the Amateur Radio Emergency Service and Amateur Radio Civil Emergency Service between Saturday, November 7th and Tuesday, November 10th. Timing, it seems, is everything. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bobby Best, WX4ALA in Jasper, Alabama.
The Hassayampa Amateur Radio Club, and yes, they spell club with a K, is busy preparing for its Harkfest, a tailgate hamfest in the North Ranch Escapees RV Park in Congress, Arizona, on November 14th. For those who can't wait for the fun to start at 8 a.m. when the four-hour hamfest opens, organizers note that there is camping available with full hookup provided you pre-register. The hamfest will have an arts and crafts show, and lunch will also be available. And, oh yes, there'll be plenty of amateur radio gear and banter. Talk in on the club's 2-meter repeater or on Simplex at 146.580 megahertz. For more details, visit the club's website at http://harkaz.org. A more serious effort got underway throughout Arizona on Wednesday, November 4th, with a statewide Arizona ham radio exercise known as HAMX. The first ever drill was designed to help ham amateurs understand their communication roles when disaster strikes their various communities. But the forces of nature may have conspired to drive that point home with an even stronger hand. However, after a series of minor earthquakes rumbled through the region just north of Phoenix, Arizona, on Sunday, November 1st, a few days before HAMX was scheduled. The trio of quakes was considered rare, of course, but radio amateurs were taking no chances. Morgan Hoagland, WW7B, Communications Manager with the Arizona Department of Emergency and Military Affairs, and the Division of Emergency Management, said that three real earthquakes, however small, were certainly a surprise, considering the Hamex mock disaster being staged was also centered around an earthquake. He told amateur radio Newsline, quote, "This exercise caused us to make ready many, many amateur radio modes such as HF, VHF, UHF, Winlink, FLMSG, FNARS, and BHF packet. We plan to make sure we keep all of the flexibility we display here for the future," end quote. He said 65 hams in Arizona and another 10 working HF outside of state were involved in the exercise, and the diversity of modes, both voice and data, proved to be the greatest strength of the exercise. And yes, more such drills are planned for the year ahead. As for its importance of the November 4th Hamex, Hoagland expected no one would question its value or success. Quote, "With the actual Arizona earthquake taking place a few days prior, we certainly did not have to justify the realities or feasibility of the exercise," end quote. Sometimes ham radio is more than just a hobby. In fact, it can be a career. Consider these openings now available for qualified radio amateurs looking to make the most of their talents, skills, interests, and professional development. In Australia, the Wireless Institute of Australia is looking for an executive administrator in its Bayswater, Melbourne location. Applicants should be experienced in working for a nonprofit community service membership organization and should have a good understanding of the WIA and amateur radio. The deadline to apply for the job is November 30th. For more details on specific job requirements, visit seek.com or the WIA website at http://www.wia.org.au. In the United States, the ARRL is looking for a contest branch manager to work out of league headquarters in Newington, Connecticut. The ideal candidate should have a minimum of 5 years' experience in ham radio contesting and will be responsible for a team of about 20 log adjudicators, results, authors, and data entry assistants in and out of the headquarters building. For more details about the job and qualification, visit the ARRL website and navigate to the Employment Opportunities page. And finally, if you're aiming high, really high, the ARRL is looking for a new chief executive officer to succeed David Sumner, K1ZZ. Sumner is stepping down as CEO next May, and applications for his successor are due no later than November 16th. The active radio amateur who is chosen for this position will, among other things, oversee the day-to-day management of the league and its fiscal operation. Applications, cover letters, and resumes should be sent to Monique Levesque at ARRL headquarters. She can be emailed at mlevesque@arrl.org. The Hamlin Marsh Wildlife Management Area in New York's Adirondack region holds many things in its vast acreage of wetland, aquatic birds, frogs, deer, and various grasses. But it holds something even more for one Syracuse area ham, endless radio possibilities. Amateur radio newsline Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, has the details.
Since earlier this year, Stephen Mussey, KD2ETP, has believed he could enter the upstate New York wetland known as Clay Marsh and find solid footing for a QRP adventure. So Sunday, November 8th, we'll find Mussey canoeing out across the swampy landscape, climbing ashore on some hospitable patch of land and setting up his Elecraft KX3 and his two antennas. His one-man special event is called Marshes on the Air, and his goal is to work the bands, starting on 40 meters, logging as many contacts QRP as possible until sundown. He told Amateur Radio Newsline in a recent phone call that he has another goal, too, one he's had since getting his license 3 years ago. He said, quote, "I want to do some things that haven't been done, go to places that are kind of inhospitable," end quote. Mussey is no stranger to the wildlife management area near his New York home. He grew up near Onondaga Lake and has been part of an effort to restore its cleanliness. He's also no stranger to off-the-beaten-paths of radio transmitting. Last February, when it was 15 degrees below with wind chill, he was heating up the airwaves from an ice shanty on that very lake, transmitting in an expedition he called FLOTA, for Frozen Lakes on the Air. For Mussey, these outings, like ham radio itself, are about opening up the fun and the possibilities. Options as vast and promising as the airwaves themselves. He says, quote, Everyone climbs a mountain in some park, and that's great. I've done some soda work, but I think there are other areas that might be interesting. Going off the beaten path just requires a little more effort, end quote. Effort, yes, and a lot more imagination. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, in Picayune, Mississippi.
Time for you to identify your station. We are Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the KD2SL repeaters and KC2VER145.31 Fusion digital repeater in Syracuse, New York, on Monday nights at 8. When a few dozen hams in South Africa were cut off from civilization late last month, they had a few things going for them. They had their radios and their antennas. Propagation was terrific, and it was, after all, an exercise to prepare for the real thing. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has the details.
The Hamnet Summer Communications Exercise, held in late October in South Africa, was such a total disaster, just as everyone had hoped, but it proved to be a total success. Disaster was the whole idea, in fact, since the 60 or so participating hams working in teams had committed to operating their field stations in remote locations while living off the grid, as if some cataclysm had struck. All activities, including cooking, lighting and, of course, radio communications, were done under simulated emergency conditions. But the 16 stations across South Africa and in Namibia benefited from fortunate propagation conditions, and the experiment went forward on the 24th and 25th of October as planned. To communicate, stations contacted one another via random two-word messages transmitted over channels instead of specified frequencies, comparing the results later. Grant Southey, ZS1GS, the exercise's principal or organizer, said the teams would be submitting reports about their experiences, what worked for them and what didn't, and all participants can expect to receive a questionnaire to help fine-tune procedures in time for the next event. After all, next summer is only a year away. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, in Nottingham, in the UK.
The Philippine Amateur Radio Association is marking its 83rd anniversary with a celebration on November 29th at the Marikina Polytechnic College. Fox hunting, license exams, lectures, demonstrations, and even the group's first ever Ham Group Go Kit contest will round out the all-day celebration for the national nonprofit group. The keynote speaker will be Jojo Vicencio, DU1VHY, National Traffic System Chairman, and PARA's Security General. One of the day's highlights will be the introduction of the Go Kit contest, highlighting the need for emergency preparedness in the Philippines for typhoons and other disasters. Pre-registration for this contest is required, and forms can be downloaded from the website www.para.org.ph. The AARL National Parks on the Air event is less than 2 months away, marking the park service's centennial. But in the Australian state of Victoria, national parks are getting ready to be activated Friday, November 13th, through Monday, November 16th, by hams pursuing the Keith Roger Memorial National Parks Award. The Roger Award, created in 1970, was created to spur amateurs to engage in portable operation throughout Victoria's 45 national parks, from French Island National Park to Wyperfeld National Park. It is made available through Amateur Radio Victoria, and it's named for the late Keith Roger, VK3YQ, a noted portable operator. Meanwhile, also in Australia, there's also a bit of license bookkeeping to be done. The Australian Communications and Media Authority have been sending revalidation letters to that country's amateurs 90 days before their licenses are due to expire. The process allows licensees to check their details or modify them, or even surrender the license, if they wish. The letters or emails to the hams will include the ACMA license number, but will not contain any individual call signs. Hams are advised that if all the information in the mailing is correct and the license is not surrendered, there's no need to take action except to pay for renewals of any licenses where appropriate. Hams are advised to check with the ACMA to ensure their postal address or email address is correct. Otherwise, the ACMA warns a license could be canceled and an amateur's call sign could be reassigned to another ham. The ACMA can be emailed at info@acma.gov.au. Polish radio amateur Don Grzyb, 3Z9DX, who received permission to operate in early 2016 from the Democratic People's Republic of North Korea, is busy preparing for his trip to what is the most elusive and most wanted DXCC entity. His plans are to travel to the capital, Pyongyang, in December and firm up his operations guidelines with officials there. He will be bringing his rig and a vertical antenna to show them. He has been approved to operate with the call sign P5/3Z9DX on three bands using 100 watts. His goal is to concentrate on 20-meter operation, working SSB over the course of 5 days, but he may also work 15 and 10 meters. Such an operation would be a major achievement for any ham. The last DXCC-approved operation from North Korea was in 2001 and 2002. Ed Georgads, 4L4FN, of the Republic of Georgia, worked SSB and RIDI as P5/4L4FN. Georgads had been in the country at the time, working for the UN's World Food Program in Pyongyang. Heading OZ-1BII will be active as NH-3EE from Malta between November 24th and 30th. He will work 160 through 10 meters with an emphasis on 30, 17, and 12 meters using CW only. He will also participate in the CQ Worldwide DX CW contest on November 28th and 29th, working a single op, all band, low power entry. QSL via OZ-1BII or Club Log. Toshi JA-8BMK is active as 4W/GA-8BMK from Timor-Leste until November 9th, working 80 and 40 meters using mainly CW. QSL via JA-8BMK direct only. Marking the National Rifle Association's 144th birthday, members of the YVAPI Amateur Radio Club of Prescott, Arizona, will operate a special event station November 17th. The operators will be at Gunsight Academy's 2,000-acre campus in Paulden, Arizona, using the call sign K7NRA. They will work several HF frequencies and offer a certificate for successful contacts. Send a QSL with a 9x12 stamped self-addressed envelope to YARC, Post Office Box 1199, Prescott, Arizona, 86304. URI N2TTA will once again be active as NP2P during the CQWW DXCW contest on November 28th and 29th as a single op, all band, low power entry, QSL via LOTW. During the same contest, Alfredo Al WP3C will be active as NP4A from Puerto Rico as a single op, single band, 40 meter, high power entry, QSL via W3HNK. Since late October, students in the Ham Radio Club at Bloomington High School South in Bloomington, Indiana, have been able to do a bit of DXing a little differently. There's no QRN and there are no QSL cards either. The youngsters and their club have been starring in a 7-minute video about their Ham Radio Club K9SOU. The video is a segment of a program produced each week by the school's mass media class, and even though Indiana is not on the DXCC list, anyone, near or far, can see the club in action on YouTube. In the video, the teens, including club president Ryan Cutchell, KD9DAB, talk about their involvement in the hobby. And the video shows the young hams working October's ARRL school club roundup. It was during that same busy month that the students also participated in the CQ Worldwide SSB DX contest. The club sponsor, Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, told Amateur Radio Newsline that DX contest was a first for the club, which Rapp reawakened from its dormancy in 2002 when he moved to Bloomington to teach AP chemistry at the school. He said the school is an ARRL education and technology program school, and that's how the club got its first station. Rapp adds, quote, "The kids fundraised a two-element step IR antenna a couple of years ago, and our contesting efforts really blossomed," end quote. The students have blossomed, too. Last year's winner of the Young Ham of the Year Award was Padraig Lissandro, KC9UUS, who also received the ARRL Goldfarb Scholarship, Hiram Percy Maxim Award, and spoke at the Dayton Hamvention Youth Forum. And that's just for starters. Being a ham runs in the family, too. For the past 2 years, his younger sister, Maria, KD9BUS, has been vice president of the Bloomington South Club. There are not quite 30 members in the club, Ref said, but interest continues to grow, as does listenership and now viewership. It seems that since the video posted online, the club can do a bit of DXing on its own anytime it wants via YouTube. To see the video, visit our Amateur Radio Newsline website and look for the link below this story. Best of all, you won't have to worry about any pileups. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, AmateurRadio.com, Australia, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, DX World, Hap Holly, and the Rain Report, NASA, and the Ohio Penn DX Newsletter, Ron Panetta, WBTWGH, Philippine Amateur Radio Association, South African Radio Lead, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Tony Hart, KC2VER, Twit TV, QRZ Now, UpstateHam.com, and you, our listeners. Our email address for news tips and comments is arnewslinetips@gmail.com. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB in Wandsworth, Ohio, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide saying 73, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2015, all rights reserved.